The Trail to Love, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1903.
Would you care to take a look at your post, sir?
Travis, the elderly butler, asked, as he brought in a silver pot of steaming coffee to the breakfast table at number 13, Launchbury Close, Mayfair.
There is rather a lot of it, he added.
Young Richard Stanfield sighed as he thought of the mountain of unopened envelopes on the hall table of the elegant townhouse in Mayfair, where he had grown up. Of course, there would be very many letters, as he had been away in South America for nearly 3 months, following the death of his dear father, Sir Julius Stanfield, and with no one at the house to open them, the envelopes would just pile up. Travis was still hovering by the table, his white whiskers drooping rather sadly. He was probably missing Sir Julius, whom he had served faithfully for 30 years. Richard missed him too. Yesterday, when he arrived back at his home, dusty and exhausted from his long journey, he had forgotten for a moment that his father was no longer there to shout out, "Hello, old young'un," as he would hurry out of his study to greet his son.
"Please bring the post in, Travis, and I will open it while I drink my coffee," said Sir Richard, and the old butler gave a nod and hobbled off to the hall to fetch the letters.
Richard finished eating the scrambled eggs, bacon, and sausage that lay on his plate. It was the first proper English food he had eaten for ages, and it tasted very good. The coffee, however, was a disappointment. Richard had grown used to the intense dark flavour of the authentic South American blends on his travels, and the bland offering that Travis had just brought up from the kitchen was no match for it.
"Here you are, sir."
Travis laid a large tray piled high with envelopes beside Richard's coffee cup.
"Will you be requiring anything else, sir?"
Richard saw that Travis had thoughtfully provided a silver paper knife for opening the letters.
"No, thank you, Travis. You may go."
He drained the last of his cup, wishing that it could have been extra strong Colombian to give him strength for the task ahead, and picked up the paper knife. The first letter he opened was from the bank. "Dear sir," it read, "it is with regret that we must inform you that your overdraft has been exceeded. Please contact us at your earliest opportunity." Richard winced. He opened the next letter, and saw that it was from Boostrett & Sons, gentlemen's outfitters.
"Dear sir, our account, dated the 30th of September, remains unpaid."
If only he had paid for everything when he went in to pick up the lightweight tropical suits he had ordered for his trip abroad. But he did not know, then, how things were going to turn out. Richard rummaged through the pile of letters, and his heart sank as he could tell, even without opening them, that they were all bills and final demands for payment.
"What shall I do?"
he muttered to himself, pushing the letters away. "What on earth can I do to get myself out of this mess?" There was a loud rat-a-tat at the front door. Richard heard a mumble of voices in the hall, and then Travis came back into the dining room.
"Mr. Bagley, to see you, sir."
"Send him in," replied Richard, his heart sinking.
Mr. Bagley runs the livery stables just around the corner from Lansbury Close, where Sir Julius had kept his horses for riding and carriage work. Mr. Bagley strode into the room, sweat shining on his round red face, and stood in front of Richard, clutching his bowler hat in his hands.
"Good morning to you, sir," he began sullenly.
Richard sniffed appreciatively at the odour of straw and warm horses that always seemed to follow Mr. Bagley wherever he went, and remembered some happy days in his childhood when the red-faced gentleman had taught him to ride in Hyde Park, puffing along on foot after his spirited white pony Snowball. But Mr. Bagley was not looking at all cheerful and encouraging, as he did in those days. He was frowning, and avoiding Richard's eyes.
Your late father.
Mr. Bagley wiped his brow.